10th canto, chapter 13, text 43. Brahma stealing the boys and calves.
Evam
iteshu
bedeshu
chiram
dhyatva
sa
atmabhu
sutyaha
ke
katare
neti
gyatam
neshte
tathachana
evam
iteshu bedeshu
chiram dvatva
sa atmabhu
satya
ke katare
neti
gyatum
neshte
katachana
evam
iteshu
bedeshu
iteshu
bedeshu
chiram
dhyatva
sa
atmabhu
Samatmabhu
satya
ke
katare
neti
gyatum
neshte
katachana
ne
katanchana
evam
iteshu
bhedeshu
chiram
dhyatva
sa atmabhu
satya
ke katare
neti
Gyatum
nishte
katham
chana
Iteshu
bedeshu
Atmabhu
Satya ke katare neti Gyatum
nishte
katanchana
Ladies
Evam
iteshu
bedeshu
Atmabhu
Satya ke katare neti Gyatum nishte katanchana
Anybody else?
Evam
iteshu
bedeshu
Chiram
dhyatva
samatmabhu
Satya ke katare neti Gyatum nishte
katanchana Word meanings
Evam
In this way
Iteshu
bhedeshu
Between
these boys who were existing separately
Chiram
for a long time
Dhyatva
after thinking
Saha
he
Atmabhu
Lord Brahma
Satyaha real. Ke. Who. Kotore. Who. Na.
Are not.
Iti. Thus. Gyatum. To understand. Na. Not. Ishte. Was able. Kutanchana. In any way at all. Thus, Lord Brahma, thinking and thinking for a long time, tried to distinguish between those two sets of boys who were each separately existing. He tried to understand who was real and who was not real, but he couldn't understand at all. Purport. Brahma was puzzled. The original boys and calves are still sleeping as I have kept them, he thought. But another set is here playing with Krishna. How has this happened? Brahma could not grasp what was happening, which boys were real, which boys were not real. Brahma was unable to come to any definite conclusion. He pondered the matter for a long while. How can there be two sets of calves and boys at the same time? Have the boys and calves here been created by Krishna, or has Krishna created the ones lying asleep? Or are they both merely creations of Krishna? Brahma thought about the subject in many different ways. After I go to the cave and see that the boys and calves are still there, does Krishna go take them away and put them here so that I come here and see them? And does Krishna then take them from here and put them there when I go back? Brahma could not figure out how there could be two sets of calves and coward boys exactly alike. Although thinking and thinking, he could not understand at all. Hare Krishna. So who's more intelligent than Lord Brahma? That's one of the main points of this pastime. Materially, there's no one as intelligent as Brahma. And he has not one head, but four, and some universes, many more. Right? Sometimes you're trying to figure something out, you have a meeting, you ask somebody, because the saying is two heads are better than one, so four heads are better than two. So Brahma now, he has four heads, and in this verse it says, Chiram. He was thinking, pondering. Chiram means the long time. He's trying to figure it out. Not possible. Don't try. Don't try to figure Krishna out. Just like one morning walk, devotee asked a question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, in the spiritual world, everything is eternal. But they have to eat. So if the carrot is eternal, what happens to it after you eat it? Anybody figure that out? We'll give you chiram. A long time, you can think about it. And if you figure out the answer, let me know, because I haven't figured it out. Prabhupada didn't answer the question. Because from our perspective, we cannot understand. So he said, who knows what Prabhupada said? What did he say? You have to go there and find out. Because you won't understand. Prabhupada, if you eat a carrot in the spiritual world, but the carrot's eternal, where does it go? That you have to go and find out. You won't be able to understand. So many things about Krishna consciousness will be understood but not through the brain, not through the mind, and not through the intelligence. But they will be understood. Just like Prabhupada said, sometimes a scientist is trying to understand something, and he can't figure it out. And he's trying. So Krishna says, okay, I'll give you the answer. And the answer comes. There was one scientist, I forget who it was, the answer came. It just came. And there were hundreds of steps that he didn't figure out, that were needed to figure out, that were later figured out to prove the answer was correct. But the answer just came to him. So the same way, sometimes we are trying to understand something about Krishna. Trying, or understand some point of philosophy, and then Krishna just... When the desire is strong enough, then Krishna says, okay, you can understand. And he gives us the understanding. Anyone had that experience? That's how Krishna shows his mercy. To those who are devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Anytime we get any realization or any understanding in Krishna consciousness that brings us one inch closer to Krishna, where did it come from? That's Krishna's mercy. And it's only because we want it. Because the opposite also happens, doesn't it? Prabhupada said, Maya means when things in this world appear more attractive than Krishna. Now that's a dangerous position, isn't it, to be in? That something appears more attractive than Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in all the 14 worlds there's only one thing. What is that one thing? The name of Krishna. So for the pure devotee, there's nothing in this world that can compare to the name of Krishna or the Nama Rupa Guna Lila. Nothing can compare. But for one in Maya, everything appears more attractive than Krishna. Yes? Money. People in America, they say, I don't bow down to anybody. They come in the temple, everyone's bowing down. They say, I will not bow down. I do not bow down to anybody. I say, you don't? You bow down to money. You bow down to women. You bow down to power. You bow down to fame. Every day. Almost at every moment. They did a survey. They said, young boys, think of women every 20 seconds. One father told his son, you know, young boys in America, they think of women every 20 seconds. And the boy said, what am I supposed to think of the other 19 seconds? That's Maya. So it is a very dangerous position to not want Krishna, because then, just as when we want Krishna, he gives us realization to come to him, he will give us realization how to go away from him. He will give us the knowledge and the intelligence to turn away. To see how Maya is attractive and to work like an ass. That's the danger. One man was speaking to Prabhupada. He was saying, why Krishna puts us in this situation? Prabhupada said, Krishna did not put you in this situation. He said, you chose to be in this situation. Krishna gives you a choice. Whatever you want, he'll give you. We are all sitting in this temple. It is our choice. We don't have to be here. There was nobody outside on the street with a gun pointing you in the temple. Either in the temple or you die. You are here because you want to be here. So this man, Prabhupada was teasing him, transcendentally teasing him. He said, you can choose Krishna's desire. said, but you don't want it. You don't want to listen to Krishna. You want to listen to the Americans. You think what the Americans have to tell you, that's valuable. But what Bhagavad Gita has to tell you, no, you don't want to listen to that. Then Prabhupada said something very special and very interesting, almost mind-blowing, or as you say in India, mind-blasting. You say mind-blasting? Mind-blasting. Is it mind-blasting? Prabhupada said, you do not want Krishna. You do not want to hear Krishna. You want to listen to the Americans. He said, therefore you do not go to Krishna. You stay here. And then Prabhupada said, that is Krishna's ill luck. That is Krishna's ill luck that you don't want him, and it is your misfortune. Isn't that amazing? So Prabhupada's showing that Krishna wants us, and when we make the wrong choice, Krishna feels, oh, he made the wrong choice. Prabhupada said, it's Krishna's ill luck. Amazing. When Gop Kumar finally reached Goloka, Braj, when he got there, he asked one question, which we should all ask when we get back. Where's Krishna? There, he's coming back, herding the cows. Krishna ran. Krishna saw him and ran. Gop Kumar ran. They embraced. What did Krishna say? He said, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. So we're down here in this world listening to the Americans instead of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna's feeling, this is my ill luck, that all these people in this world, they want to stay here. So finally Gop Kumar comes back. I've been waiting for you. Krishna's waiting for all of us. Why is Krishna performing this pastime? What's the reason? It's only to help Brahma and help all of us, isn't it? Only to bring us closer. Some of us are afraid to come closer to Krishna. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, many of us are. We're afraid what he'll ask of us. Better I stay a distance. One time there was a morning walk. Prabhupada was chastising. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? One by one, all the sannyasis moved to the back because if you're in the front, you'd get chastised. Sometimes we're like that with Krishna. Krishna, if I surrender to you, if I come too close, what then will you ask me to do? Maybe I won't be able to do it. Maybe I won't be happy. Maybe you'll ask too much. Every one of us, or at least I'd say most of us, there's something there. Little fear if I get too close to Krishna. Maybe it'll be too intense. One japa workshop, we did an exercise in which we meditated on Krishna within the heart, our Ishtadev within the heart, and then we meditated that this Ishtadev had come out of the heart, kind of like Dhruva Maharaj had seen Krishna, first in his heart, then outside. And we were chanting, we were visualizing in our mind that Krishna was sitting and he was listening to us chant. And we were sitting in front of him face to face. And many devotees said that was very difficult for them, because they realized how much they had turned their back on Krishna how many sinful activities they had committed. And just to be face to face with Krishna was very difficult. So just to have to admit that I had turned my back on Krishna. And I committed sinful activities for so many lifetimes. Prabhupada said, Krishna will give you what you want. Paramatma will give you. He'll direct you. He'll, as we know, as many of us know, or most of us know, Prabhupada said, you may forget what you wanted in your last life. Krishna doesn't forget. And again in this life, right? You remember. But Prabhupada said, the real reason that Krishna accompanies us is to get us back to Godhead. Right? So he's speaking within us, within our heart, if we listen. He's pulling us, but we're a little bit afraid to get pulled too quick, too fast. I can speak this way because I've done research. One of the japa workshops I was giving, something came to me. And I said, I think there's a problem that we cannot surrender fully to the holy name, because deep down inside, we know if we fully surrender the holy name, it's going to pull us completely at the feet of Krishna, 100%, nothing else. And we're afraid of that. So I said to the devotees, I said, this is how I'm thinking. Raise your hand if that's true, 100%. I'm 100% admitted. Interesting. Surrender. You say this word surrender, chills go down people's spine. Surrender. They think, you know, a gun in your forehead. Surrender. Surrender is sweet. What did Prabhupada say surrender is? He said surrender simply means Krishna is my maintainer and protector. That's what surrender means. Who would be afraid of that? Right? Nobody. But somehow or other we think surrender is, I'll give up my independence, I won't be happy. Something. Somewhere there. So, we ask the devotees, what are you afraid of? Everybody had something. When we were young devotees in San Francisco, California, the temple president used to joke. He'd say, if you don't do what I say, we'll send you to Siberia. This far off place in Russia where there's snow, I don't know, 9 months a year. And now I meet so many devotees from Siberia and I tell them that joke. So something like that. But we're thinking, if I surrender to Krishna, maybe he'll send me to Siberia. Now I see you're so surrendered, we need someone to open a temple in Siberia. If I fully surrender, maybe they'll ask me to go to Siberia. The devotees were saying things like this. One devotee said, if I surrender, my husband will take sannyas. I know if I surrender, Krishna will let my husband take sannyas. One devotee went to Prabhupada, convinced him to take sannyas, convinced Prabhupada, said, and your wife, she'll be okay? Prabhupada said, and the devotee said, yes, Prabhupada. The news got to that wife. The devotee didn't even tell his wife. He was taking sannyas. You know, obviously the women heard immediately. You know, you don't need a telegram. You don't need a telephone. You just tell a devotee. The message gets out. So she heard and she came back to Prabhupada. She was completely distraught. My husband's taking sannyas. He didn't even ask. Prabhupada asked. He said, yes, Prabhupada, She's fine. Message comes, totally distraught. She comes to Prabhupada. She said, Prabhupada, I'm so fed up. I hate everyone. I hate everything. Prabhupada said, oh, you're making spiritual advancement. Very good. One devotee said, if I surrender to Krishna, I am afraid he will take away my money. If I surrender to Krishna, I'm afraid he's going to ask me to do a service I'm not good at, a service I don't like to do. Maybe he'll take away something from me. So then, we did this exercise. Had everybody go through everything that they were fearful and process that and realize it's just an illusion. You're just creating this illusion. It's not true. And then I said, okay, now surrender fully to the holy name without any fear of surrender. Just surrender to the holy name completely. No fear. So we were chanting. And this one young devotee had a picture of Krishna playing his flute on the bank of the Jamuna with an attractive smile that only Krishna could have, this smile. And she was chanting, looking at that picture. So we, after we chanted a few rounds, we said, okay, would anyone like to share? And she said, yes. And so we had just been going through this process of these fears we have about surrender, which ultimately are fears of Krishna, that Krishna is going to do something to hurt us or harm us or make us unhappy if we just give everything. I'll give 85.36%. Right? I'll keep the other 14.64%. Yeah. Just in case there's trouble. Yeah. Right? Keep a little money in the bank just in case, you know, for your blooping fund and things don't work out, you know. Just in case. Keep your options open. You know. So, said anybody like to share? She raised her hand and she said yes. I was chanting and I was looking at this picture of Krishna. This beautiful picture of Krishna playing his flute on the Jamuna. Which Rupa Goswami says, don't go to the Jamuna and see Krishna playing his flute. If in any way you want to remain in this material world, if you have anything you're attached and you want to stay attached to that, don't go and see Krishna. Because if you do, your material life will be finished. 100% finished. If you see Krishna. So she said, I was looking at this picture of Krishna and I was thinking, how could this beautiful boy do anything to hurt me? How can this beautiful boy do anything to hurt me? And we're thinking Krishna's going to do something if I surrender to hurt me. What madness that is. Surrender means Krishna's my protector and my maintainer. That's the definition. That's what Prabhupada said. Last night before I was going to bed, someone asked Prabhupada, what is surrender? And Prabhupada said, helpless. You are helpless. You feel you are helpless. Like a little child. They know whenever they're in trouble, they can go to their mother or father. He said, like that, helpless. That's surrender. Krishna will do everything. So who would not want to be surrendered? But in our madness, we think, somehow or other, I surrender something. Krishna might do something that I can't handle. So we see Krishna's always trying to bring us a little closer, but he's pulling the rope and sometimes we're pulling back a little bit because we're not very intelligent. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, why does Krishna want a relationship with us? He said, because every living entity has a unique relationship with Krishna, and Krishna tastes something different from every living entity. Every rasa is different with every living entity. And Krishna is Rasaraj. So Krishna wants to taste rasa with all of us, but we're pulling the rope. Just like sometimes a young man in the West and a young woman associate together. Boyfriend, girlfriend. After a while, the woman is thinking, I want to settle down. I want to have a house. I want to have a family. And she says to the man, Kahe, because the man's very like, not really. The man rather just be a playboy. So she's Kahe, and he's like, Nene, just I'd rather play around, but you know, settling down, family, children. Nah. Krishna wants a relationship. We're like, well, maybe I'll think about it. No. He wants to taste rasa with all of us. He's calling us. Every one of us. And ultimately, how is he calling? He's given us his holy name. In Harinam Chintamani, it is said, the holy name is the most valuable, most precious jewel in the Lord's treasury house. Amazing. The Hare Krishna movement, there's a disease in the Hare Krishna movement. Did you know that? In some places, the disease has gone epidemic. Would you like to know what the disease is? Maybe you have it and you don't know. And it relates to Kartik also, because we have to do a vritta. One time a devotee, we were reading a verse in Mayapur, I was giving class, a verse was on Vanaprast, and a devotee said, what is the austerity for Vanaprast? And I had just been facilitating japa workshops and retreats, and just the top of my head, I said, the austerity for every ashram, for every one of us, is simply to hear the holy name when we chant. That's the austerity. That's the most underlooked austerity, and that's the disease. We don't do that. That's the real austerity. For Kartik, why not make a vritta? When I chant, I hear. When I chant, my mind doesn't travel around the universe 3 times a second. I just hear the holy name. Because the most valuable gift Krishna can give is his holy name, because the holy name gives love of Krishna. Everything is there in the name. Our relationship with Krishna. Everything is there. So Krishna says, I want a relationship. Here's the holy name. It's the most. If you ask Krishna for the most valuable thing, that's what he gives you. Because the relationship for him on his side, it's the most valuable thing. Because he wants that relationship. He wants to taste it. And not only does he want to taste the relationship, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna has a special taste for all of us that he gives us, which is unique for each of us. So now, we should see, or we can see, the holy name as Krishna's love, kindness, and mercy coming to us. His affection coming down to us. And all we have to do is receive it. So the disease is we don't fully receive it. We go elsewhere in our mind. True? Anybody? Ever that happened to anybody? Yes. That's why Mahaprabhu said, Durdaivam, this is my misfortune. You come in your holy name, I have no attraction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, 1 lakh japa, 64, well, 1 lakh is actually 58 rounds if you do the math, but we rounded off to 64, 16, 32, 64. He said, 1 lakh rounds if we commit aparad, and the main aparad is distraction and inattention, he said, there will not be one drop of taste, even after 1 lakh. He said, even continuously chanting, not even a drop of taste, if the mind and heart are somewhere else. So really, all we have to do is allow Krishna to pull us, and don't pull the rope, just hold on. Krishna's pulling Brahma here. What's the lesson? Brahma is thinking something has gone to his head. He's going to play a trick on Krishna. Something has gone to his head. Have you ever tried to cheat Krishna? Not a good idea. So Brahma was thinking of playing some trick on Krishna. So everything Krishna does for his devotee is only to bring him closer. Everything. The good, the bad, everything. That's all. This is how a devotee sees every situation. Whatever is happening, it is only that Krishna is trying to pull me closer. Something bad happens. For a devotee, there is nothing bad. Nothing bad can happen. Because whatever happens, it is only Krishna bringing us closer if we allow ourselves to see it that way. Oh, Prabhu, why did this happen? I don't understand. This is unfair. This is unkind. It's not right. I don't deserve it. Is that true? Do you want to hear something amazing? Some of you know that I give a class on forgiveness, giving up resentment. And I give these, not a class, I give a workshop. It's 3 days. And I give these workshops inside ISKCON and outside of ISKCON. And you would think inside of ISKCON there should be no demand for a class on resentment because we believe that whatever happens to us is our karma. Right? Don't we believe that? Doesn't that say that? Tatte anukampam sushyamikshamano. That verse, Lord Brahma said. Not only do we believe it's our karma, we believe Krishna has reduced the intensity of the karma and is only giving us a little bit. A little kick where we should be smashed. That's what we believe. That everything that is coming to us, we created and we deserve. And Krishna is only giving it to us because we deserve it. But you can take it further. And the acharyas say, okay, your karma, it's wiped out when you become a devotee. So Krishna decides to use whatever karma is required to purify you. So if you have a tendency to do something, Krishna will use your karma to purify that tendency. That's the only reason. There will be any problem in our life. Krishna sees, oh, you're attached to this. Well, I'll create some suffering when you explore that attachment. So you realize you should give it up. You're attached to that. You're thinking about that. I will create suffering for you. That's our philosophy, right? Isn't it? Isn't that what we're taught? Doesn't it say that in the books? This is what the acharyas say. So if that's our philosophy, why do we need courses on forgiveness, giving up resentment? Because there are members of the Hare Krishna movement who bring resentment in and don't give it up, or take on resentment when they come because somebody did something to hurt them. And that person who did you, is doing something to hurt you, is only a messenger of your karma bringing a lesson to you which you need to leave, and it's only Krishna's mercy to bring you closer. That's it. That's all it is. Krishna will not do anything other than to bring us closer. Because he wants us more than we want him. He is Rasaraj. He wants. So the pastime of Damodar, what's it about? Kunti says, we are bewildered because fear personified is afraid of you, and mother, and now you're afraid of Mother Jashoda. Why? Just so these hard hearts, these steel-like hearts, stone-like hearts, will melt. He performs his leelas so our hearts will melt. I want to tell you something special. When Srila Prabhupada was on this planet and we saw him, our hearts melted. If you look at the interviews of Prabhupada's disciples, you will hear so many big, rough, tough men who were meat eaters and fools and rascals before they became devotees, doing every imaginable sin, tell you, when I first saw, the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada, I cried. Big, rough, tough men crying when they saw Prabhupada.
I cried.
Out of our heart. Because when the affection's there, then you don't even think anymore. You're out of your mind. You're in your heart and you just give to Krishna. And that's where bhakti comes from. It doesn't come from the head. Brahma's trying to figure this out. Good luck. You know, a million lifetimes you won't figure this out. Because bhakti's not the head. Krishna's coming to melt the heart. That's perfection. That's bhakti. If we can chant one holy name, this Kartik, that causes us to shed one tear. Wow. What a wonderful Kartik, huh? Isn't it? If we can hear one leela of Krishna and shed one tear. Wow. Fantastic. We have a hard heart, and that's why we don't surrender. The heart melts, then we surrender. Let the holy name melt our heart. It will, if we allow it. Prabhus, Matajis, take a vow. Do me a favor. Try this. Take a vow to think of Krishna when you chant Hare Krishna. Is that too much to ask? Please don't talk when you chant. Just chant. Don't talk to anybody. Don't lounge around. Don't space out. Just chant. Just Krishna's there. Just be with him. Spend time with him. Be absorbed. He'll melt your heart if you do that. That's his business. Heart melting. That's Krishna's occupation. And what's our business? Well, I don't know if I'm going to let you melt my heart. No. That's the problem. Allow Krishna to melt your heart. What a nice month to have your heart melt. Right? Such a good month. Let Krishna melt your heart this month. You'll never be the same again. You won't even think about surrender. You'll be beyond surrender. It's not even... We saw Prabhupada. There was like... There was no thought of surrender. Just, Prabhupada, send me to Siberia. I'm ready to go. Wasn't it? Karta? Wasn't it? See, Prabhupada, that was it. Otherwise, how do we join? Sachinandan Swami tells a story. When he joined, he was signed off. His will. Millions of dollars. Signed off. I was signed off, not millions, but about a half a million. I was signed off the will. Who cares? We have the holy name. We have Prabhupada. Who cares? Nothing can compare. That's the sweetness of bhakti that Prabhupada gave. And Prabhupada melted our heart, and so we did it. Allow Prabhupada to melt your heart. Allow Krishna to melt your heart. Allow the holy name to melt your heart. Allow the Damodar Leela to melt your heart. That's perfection. That's all we want. What is the prayer? May these pastimes always remain in my mind. Millions of opulences are of no use to me. That's it. Isn't it? That's bhakti. What do we care for anything else? Just if I can remember Krishna. That's it. Sisi Radha Damodar ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. So, do we have time for questions or should we end? Or both? Tell me what to do. It's too late now? One question? Okay, let's do the lottery, get to see who asked the question. One question. Maybe there are no questions. Yes, we have a question here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class, Guru. I was wondering, sometimes we're afraid that if our heart melts, what will other people think? Like, you're faking it, or
you're other, faking
you,
it?
you don't want it to melt, because then people will think, oh, you're a weirdo, or you're
devotees will think you're weird. They'll think you're sahajiya,
yeah,
or the non-devotees.
A bit of both.
Well, the non-devotees already think we're weird, so that doesn't matter. So you only have to deal with the devotees. Prabhupada said, these non-devotees, they think we're crazy, he said. But we know they are crazy. They just think we're crazy, but we know they're crazy. A devotee never advertises their bhakti, and they are very careful not to externally show symptoms of it. It said, if you do some bratta and you tell somebody, you just lose the value of the bratta. You know, don't tell anybody. You chant 128 rounds. Don't go around telling them, Prabhu, Prabhu, I chanted 128 rounds. No, you just lose the value of that. Keep it to yourself. So, Krishna consciousness is an internal thing. It's your relationship with your guru, with Srila Prabhupada, with your Ishtadeva. That is very internal. In your room alone you can cry. When people would go to visit Prabhupada in the Radha Damodar temple, they would peep through the keyhole to see what Prabhupada was doing because they didn't want to disturb him. What did they see? So many people told they saw Prabhupada chanting japa, tears coming down his eyes. But Prabhupada didn't do that in public. Once or twice he did it in public and he apologized. Prabhupada was speaking and he stopped. He choked. I was actually there in Mayapur. He just stopped. He couldn't speak. And so afterwards the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, what do we do when you do that? And the first thing Prabhupada said is, I'm sorry. I don't do that often. He apologized for doing that in public. What was he teaching? In public, a devotee does not externally manifest any outward signs. He apologized. It's not right. Internally, so much is going on. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you find a Vaishnava who's relishing the holy name, sit next to him. You'll get something. You find a Vaishnava who's relishing Krishna consciousness, be by them. You'll get something. It will come from them. They don't have to show it externally. You'll get it. Right? So, our service is to relish Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, our service in preaching is to give people a taste. That's our service, to relish it and give others a taste. Preaching means giving others a taste. Krishna wants to taste rasa. We taste rasa. We give it to others. That's preaching. Isn't that interesting? Interesting view of preaching, isn't it? That we're simply preaching is give people a taste. That's what we're doing. If you give somebody a taste, what happens? Their material life is finished. Prabhupada said that so many times. If you get a taste, it destroys your material desire. You can preach so many things to so many people, but if you give them a taste of Krishna consciousness, that's it. That's the medicine that cures their material disease, isn't it? That's why we're all here. We got a taste. And the duty of the devotee is simply to relish and give that taste to others. I've been in many kirtans, but no kirtan can compare to the kirtans with Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada is tasting Krishna on another level. And so being in the presence of that kirtan was another level. So if we can taste on another level, we bring people up automatically to that level by our sangha. So that's our service is to relish Krishna consciousness, to melt the heart and help other people melt their hearts. That's it. Simple program, right? The heart-melting movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.